Welcome to Clay and Iron with Dr. Bill Deagle, MD. That's me. And our special guest tonight is Eric Phelps from the well-known book, Vatican Assassins Connect. And he is definitely one of the most informed individuals on the planet, connecting the dots at the highest levels in terms of what's going on with the global agenda. Welcome to the program tonight, Eric.
Pleasure to be with you, Dr. Deagle, and your audience.
Well, I really appreciate everybody listening. And we have some new call-in numbers. If you're anywhere in the world now, we have a new 800 call-in number that's good worldwide. If you want to call in and ask questions, again, the program tonight, of course, is an hour. And the call-in number, which is brand new, is posted on bbsradio.com. And the show, of course, is Clay and Iron. And that number is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Eric, can you, for those who haven't heard of you before, in the book Vatican Assassins, which you're working on a CD, and of course the next edition of the book, which is going to be very valuable because a lot of people are really confused about these issues and what's really going on in terms of the global agenda. But all they really need to do, especially if they're, quote, a Christian believer, or even if they look back, if they're just what I call a Torah Jew, they'll see the shadows of this going back thousands of years because this is very ancient. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to write the book Vatican Assassins and study this very important issue.
Okay, I was moved to ultimately write Vatican Assassins when there were three major events in my life that, that made permanent scars, so to say. The first was the Kennedy assassination when I was 10 years old, the fourth grade. And the second was when I was in Bible college at Baptist Bible College in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, when I discovered that Lincoln had been assassinated by the Jesuits. We had a history teacher who had his PhD from Edinburgh who had a whole class on it, showed that Bernard Wiget was the mastermind behind the assassination, and he was probably the most powerful Jesuit in Washington, D.C. at the time. And then the third instance was all the new Bible versions that I did not know were based on a fraudulent conspiratorial Greek text, which was the Westcott and Hort Greek text, which had been snuck into the revision committee in the early 1870s, 1880s, when they had translated and made a new English revised version to supplant the AB 1611, which was the Reformation Bible for a couple hundred years out of England.
Yeah, the 1611, and what's that version usually called?
The King James Version.
Right.
Authorized version of 1611.
Right.
And so it was a Jesuit conspiracy to overthrow the Protestant Reformation, and they knew that if they could overthrow Britain and thus its Reformation English Bible, that they could overthrow the Reformation everywhere.
And right, and their key is they had gotten Britain by trying to change things, and then, in fact, if you go back to Albert Pike's letter, which is to senior members in the Royal Institute for International Studies in England, and it's actually kept in the British Museum, that letter actually states that there will be three world wars. The first two were against Germany, and the third one was to be between the Jews and the Muslims, basically between the, quote, Zionists. And this is all part of their plan. In fact, the target, if you want to call it, in Germany was not Adolf Hitler or Nazism. It was actually the German people to destroy them and the Reformation because they were starting to become much more spiritually informed and using their intellect and their spiritual discernment to actually figure out what's really going on with their world, which is starting to open up for them.
That's right. According to Dowling in his History of Romanism, which was written in 1845, the German people were going through somewhat of a revival through the preaching of one John Ronge. And John Ronge was regarded as the second Martin Luther, and he started what was called the German Catholic Church. And so there was beginning to be somewhat of an awakening there, in spite of Tubingen and all the atheistic rationalism and masonry that had been destroying the Lutheran Church. But and then this also gave way to the Protestant Bismarck, who I believe was a saved man. And Bismarck then created the Second Reich, which was a Protestant Reich that the Jesuits determined to overthrow. So,
right, which is why they were so determined to call the development of the Weimar Republic as the Third Reich.
Yeah.
They had to replace the second one because they didn't want to continue it And that's why it looks obvious that the military and political moves that Adolf Hitler was counter to the fact that they are actually militarily superior and should have beaten Britain and the Allies.
Oh, without a doubt. The Jesuits raised up Adolf Hitler out of Austria. He was Austrian, of course, never became a German until 1932. And he was groomed by them and brought into the Thule Society, which was Masonic. And then through the power of Michael Cardinal von Fallhaber, the Archbishop of Munich, he was the real power behind Adolf Hitler, in conjunction with Papal Nuncio Eugenio Pacelli, who then, according to the book La Popessa, Hitler visited him at night, and he did nothing but bless him, talk about being anti-communist, and then gave Hitler a bag of money. So Hitler was raised up on this one side, and this, of course, is fanatical socialism.
Right.
And then the Jesuits also raised up Stalin on the other side so that they would use these two hound dogs for the mutual destruction of the Russian Orthodox people, for the mutual destruction then towards the end of the war of the Lutheran Prussian people, and
right.
also the Roman Catholic Bavarian people, because the Roman Catholic Bavarians in Germany had refused to accept the infallibility of the Pope. And
right.
it was the great priest in Bavaria at the time, von Dahlinger, who challenged any archbishop to a public debate, challenging him to the reality or the veracity of the infallibility of the Pope. And
right.
no one accepted Ignace von Dahlinger's challenge. Instead, von Dahlinger was stripped of his priesthood, he was defrocked, and he was excommunicated.
Right.
For which reason he was protected by King Ludwig II, who then later gets assassinated, gets two bullets in his back.
Right.
So
people have to understand that there's some very evil things going on here. You know, if you listen to the testimonies of many witnesses now who have come forward and have been higher-level members of the Illuminati as children, they've been inducted by often being brought to the Vatican and actually go underneath the Vatican and actually partake and observe in Luciferian ceremonies where young boys or children are executed and on an altar, and the blood is drained, and they're doing these very nasty black mass ceremonies. And in fact, the black mass is the origin, and the archetype is the white mass, which is a very blasphemous activity.
Yes, it is, and I'm so glad that my Roman Catholic friend Greg Szymanski's had the courage enough to put these things up on his website and conduct interviews with people that further sustain these things.
Right, and the fact is, what's really going on, and we have to become much more attuned to the truth, you see, because our God, which is God, okay, is trying to speak to us through not only all of the ancient prophets, but also through the modern Reformation, because he speaks to the spirits of his priests, prophets, and men of God that actually were trying to reform or bring the church back to what it should be. Just like in ancient Israel, the prophets tried to get Israel to repent and turn back toward their God. And of course, with the challenges of our modern age, we not only have science, we call these extraterrestrials, which are just fancy versions of ETs, both good and bad, the fallen angels and the good ones. And we have these spiritual beings, which are beyond the comprehension of modern, what I call, regularly servile man, who just is busy about getting DVDs and going to work and paying his bills. He has no idea that this world exists out there, and that, in fact, he's a pawn in this, and that his ultimate destruction is planned by these globalists, including the Vatican, the Illuminati. And what you do in your book, which is very unique, as you draw all this together, and what I want to do is even draw the points even closer with all of these connections, space-based technologies, extraterrestrials, the Vatican, all of these things, because people might say, how can you do that? Well, you can, in fact, because our world is a very big world, and our God is a very great God. Our God is a God of 800 billion galaxies in a universe in which our galaxy alone has 100 billion stars. And just imagine how big a universe that is. And this may not be the whole full expanse of what God has created. So we have to understand that, and we have to also realize that there are forces of evil that want to take away our heritage and want to take away our wisdom spiritually so they can enslave us spiritually and mentally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what I do is, since I believe the Bible is the Word of God, the Reformation Bible, AB 1611, with its underlying Textus Receptus, Greek text, and underlying Masoretic text. I believe in Revelation 17:18, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth, Of course, that great city sits on seven hills or seven mountains, which are the
right.
seven hills of Rome.
It was always known as that. In fact, they would even not have to use the word Rome. In fact, the ancient historians would say, look, Josephus, they would refer to the city of seven hills, was mm-hmm. always Rome.
Right, always Rome.
Always and Rome, right back from Romulus and Remus and the founding of the ancient Roman Empire.
Right, and its colors are scarlet and purple. Of course, that corresponds to the scarlet of the garments of the cardinals of the Roman Senate and the purple for the archbishops and bishops.
Right.
So there's many striking parallels that show that it is Rome, and therefore when we study this grand conspiracy for a world government, as the Bible teaches us that there will be in the last days, it tells us that that the great men of the earth all serve this city. So therefore, all roads indeed will lead to Rome, be it the Skull and Bones, Illuminati, whatever. There it will be a historical connection somehow, some way, to the Jesuits ruling the Vatican.
Isn't it interesting that that when Ronald Reagan went to Malta, the island of Malta, and met Mikhail Gorbachev after having visited with the Pope, that they were permitted to then bring the wall between East and West Germany down.
Isn't that intriguing?
In fact, they went to have a private audience with the Pope before
right.
they actually made the deal on Malta. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. The Cold War was a hoax. It was controlled on both sides by the Jesuits after World War II. It was one of the purposes for it was, and I do teach that the whole airborne nuclear war scenario is a hoax. I do believe there are nuclear weapons that detonate, but not as far as flying missiles and dropping bombs, because that was never done at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They were detonated on the ground. And so with a successful on-ground detonation at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they created their airborne nuclear war hoax, which was then the foundation for their Cold War hoax. And right after World War II, shortly thereafter, of course, they have their International War Crimes Tribunals, where Jesuit Edmund Walsh is busy making sure certain Nazis go free. After the trial, Haushofer is not put on trial. He should have been tried because he was Hitler's mentor.
Right.
And then after that, Walsh is in the International Tribunal in Tokyo making sure that Hirohito is not put on trial because he's a Brother Freemason. With Brother Freemason Douglas MacArthur.
And, of course, the Freemasons in Japan, people may not realize that the Black Dragons, which are the, if you want to call it, the shoguns of Japan and the leaders of their 12 different families, are all high-level Illuminati Masons. You may call them by different terms in Japanese, but they're all brothers because these brotherhoods go back many thousands of years, well before Sumer, go back many thousands before the dawn of prehistory, and they're all of the same ilk.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that these Japanese Masons do, the same thing that the other Masons do, especially when they get into the 33rd degree, is they trample on the cross and desecrate it and so on, quote unquote, and that's one of the rites that they go through. So these high-level Masons then coordinate, on behalf of the Black Pope in charge of them, coordinated the Cold War. And in 1948, they orchestrate the Berlin Airlift. And I maintain the Berlin Airlift, of course, Stalin was controlled by the Pope. FDR,
right.
Truman was controlled by the Vatican, the 33rd degree Mason. So it was Churchill, that other Druid and 33rd degree Freemason. So the Berlin Airlift was coordinated for the purpose of secretly secreting out high-level Nazis in East Germany.
Right, and of course it came through what they call the Rat Line, which was controlled by the cardinals in Germany,
yes.
and actually brought them through the secret treaty of Fort Hunt to
yes.
Fort Hunt, Virginia,
yes.
to actually bring General, what was his name again?
Reinhard Gehlen.
Reinhard Gehlen, and then Dr. Reinhard Gehlen was the main one who actually was the conduit by which they made the deal for Operation Paperclip, for the NASA projects, for the mind control projects, for
right.
hypothermia research,
right.
for medical research, for mind control,
right.
for advanced bioweapons developments. We've had Dr. Garth mm-hmm. Nicholson on my Neutral Medical show on Genesis Network. You can listen to those shows. And so all of these are tied directly to the rat line that transferred literally the Third Reich right into the body politic of the American Secret Services developing in the
yes.
new NSA, the CIA,
absolutely.
Which was the OSS. And all of our secret agencies are completely Nazified right
absolutely.
From their very inception.
Yes, sir. And the other thing is that when they did this with the Vatican rat lines, and John Loftus wrote a very good book on that, Unholy Trinity, if the listener would like to get that. And then there was another very good Italian Roman Catholic author named Nino Labello. And, you know, Lobello wrote three very important books. One is called Vatican Empire, the other one's called Vatican USA, and the other one's called The Vatican Papers. And in the Vatican Papers, he tells about the Vatican rat lines that got Bormann out and said that Bormann was dressed as a Jesuit priest when he was brought out of Genoa or Milan and then taken to South America. And Farrago says that Bormann then was a lay brother in the Redemptorist Order. And
right, I heard that actually he lived many, many years.
Many years.
In, was it Chile or Venezuela?
I think it may have been Chile because, you know, you have...
That's what I heard from my contacts is that it was Chile and that he had they had direct connections to the Chilean government for, and the ultra-wealthy in Chile, the wine and landowners and so on, and the wealthy that were in Chile. And then many of these former Nazis ended up as senior advisors, and there were often transportations back by military aircraft between Chile and the United States, where many of these Nazis had estates.
Yes. Well, we also know that... the head Gestapo chief, Gestapo Mueller, was brought into the United States, and he stayed with the CIA until around 1972,
right,
when he died and so on. In fact, Oliver Stone, in his movie, JFK Director's Cut, pictures Reinhard Gehlen. He doesn't identify him in the movie, but pictures Gestapo Mueller as one of the advisors to Lyndon Johnson with regard to the Saigon mission there that was engaged in. So these top, very top Nazis, including Heinrich Himmler, who was not killed. The book Hugh Thomas, SS1, took Hugh Thomas 25 years to write that, shows that Himmler was never killed, that the British SIS faked his death, that he was helped out through the Red Cross that Schellenberg worked for, and that also Schellenberg, which was Himmler's right-hand man, in 1951 or so, before he died, he had an audience with Pope Pius XII. So Schellenberg was one of the top SSSD officers. So it shows, again, the connection between the Vatican, the SD, the SIS of Britain, and ultimately the CIA with America. So what I call this is the Black Pope's International Intelligence Community.
Now,
for those
who are listening, so they can follow, because you speak relatively fast.
Okay.
The Black Pope... how is this different from the current pope that we have, Pope Benedict?
Okay, the Black Pope was a nickname, a title given to the Jesuit general because
he's different than the Pope, right?
So he's different than the Pope.
Uh-huh.
On paper, pursuant to canon law, the Jesuit order is subject to the Pope, but in actuality, the Jesuit general and his Jesuit order oversees the Pope. The Jesuits are his penholders, and the Jesuits police the Roman hierarchy to make sure everything is functioning as they are to as they're enforcing it. It's a jurisdiction within a jurisdiction, very similar to as the SS policed the Nazi Party or as the NKVD policed the Communist Party.
Yeah, in other words, basically they're an internal security police force. They can grab you if you're not in line yank you. And in fact, that's what, you know, if you ever talk to someone who's Roman Catholic, they'll tell you how fearful the police and, you know, the priests and bishops were if a Jesuit came by. They literally shook and went into a cold sweat.
That's right. When I was speaking in Nevada one time, this Roman Catholic lady, I don't know if she was still, but she said she'd been raised in the Catholic Church, she says, "I want to know why you're still alive." Kind of took me back, and I said, "Well, why do you ask that question, ma'am?" She said, "Because when the Jesuits came to our church, our priests sweat bullets."
Yeah, of course
they did. She said they were so glad when they left. So the Franciscans, the Benedictines, the Dominicans, as well as all the hierarchy know who is in charge, and they will not cross them because the great whipping of the papacy was implemented by the Jesuits with Napoleon Bonaparte in the French Revolution. And when the Jacobins, I believe they emasculated 40,000 Dominican priests and left them bleeding in the streets in Paris. So it was a great massacre of priests. They took the Pope out of the Vatican. They took him off to France. He was Avignon for 5 years. And until the Pope agreed to restore the Jesuit order, he would remain a prisoner of Napoleon.
Right.
So the whole French Revolution, Napoleonic Wars, are nothing but Jesuit vengeance on a papacy, on a Vatican Empire that had suppressed them in 1773 with the Papal Bull.
So what we have, if you want to draw all the lines together, And we'll hear, you know, coming out the Da Vinci Code, and talk about the Illuminati and all these other things, which are a, what I call the best way to give some of the truth is to give it in a form what I call strychnine truth, where, say, a percentage is true, but there's poison with it so that it completely perverts the idea so you never really grasp the plan behind it. And the real plan is to try to resurrect the Holy Roman Empire, not just in Rome or in Europe, but globally.
Right.
And in fact, that's what's said in our Bible, in the in the Judeo-Christian Bible, the real one, the one that is correct word by word. If you go back to the original Hebrew and Greek, you'll see that. And the reason why this is important, no matter whether you're a quote, believer or you're a Buddhist or whatever other faith, people will see that our God, just like Daniel. Had to be commented on by Nebuchadnezzar, the king, his name means king of kings in ancient Babylon. He had to admit that Daniel's God was God. Well, our God is God.
Mm-hmm.
And the clearest reception of the communication to the God of the universe on earth was through Moses and through the original Torah, Judaism. But what happened is it became very perverted in various steps, and one of the latest steps was Shabtai Tzvi, and we've had Barry Shemesh on the program, and you've talked to him many times, that Shabtai Tzvi was a false messiah, and that had completely turned the faith inside out, so that if it was a sin to kill, it was good to kill. If it was a sin to have breaking of any commandments, it was actually a benefit to break those commandments. It was a positive.
Jesuitism.
Right.
Pure Jesuitism.
Right. And so what happened is what we have is basically, as Yeshua HaMashiach Emmanuel said, Jesus, that we're dealing with literally the synagogue of Satan. Okay? And that's what he called them. You are not of God. You are not Jews, but you are of the synagogue of Satan. So what we have is people who put on a mask that call themselves Jews or Catholics or Buddhists or Nazis or communist Russians or Chinese. But they're all stage-managed and controlled by the same matrix. And in fact, all of these are just faces. And then internally, even in the so-called Catholic Church, what's happened is that that mask has been put on of Catholicism, but it really is perversion of what the original faith was.
Right? Well, there's no doubt that that the Jesuits control Catholicism as it is today.
Right.
And even though I totally reject Roman Catholicism, that it was never Christian, it's not and never will be.
Right.
It's founded on going back to ancient Babylon, as well told in Hislop's War at the Two Babylons. Nonetheless, the Catholicism has been totally Jesuitized, as Luigi De Sanctis taught in his great book, Popery,
right.
Puseyism, and Jesuitism, with especially the doctrine of the infallibility of the Pope, so that the Jesuits can control the entire Roman system through one man that they will dictate policy through.
Right. Now, here's the thing. This system of control is virtually identical to that in ancient Sumer, Babylon, Egypt, the high priest in Egypt. It's the same system, basically, as has been there for thousands upon untold thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And the latest terminology is to enshrine it into Catholicism, but it's basically the same ancient system of a high priest that they would control.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have patterned it very much after the Judaism of Christ's day that had been penetrated with the worshippers of the sun, worshiping
right.
towards the east, as we read in the book of Ezekiel, and so that the Pope is looked upon as the high priest. And the Jesuit general has essentially 12 advisors, 10 assistants, and 2 others. So he has his 12 disciples.
Right.
And he has his some 85 provincials across the world, which are somewhat like the Sanhedrin. So it's very much patterned after the ancient Judaism, but it is done so, it's linked with this ancient Babylonian religion through which the devil controls the world via his general, the Jesuit general.
Exactly, yeah. Now, so what we're seeing when we see the actions of George Bush and Tony Blair, this obviously, and of course a good way of looking at the whole situation was literally the work Sun Myang Moon last year in the Senate Hart Building with all these Knights of Malta, senators, leaders, and religious leaders, literally wearing their silver swords and their full braids and everything else for the Knights of Malta, which is a...
It's a Roman Catholic order.
Right.
And they're all men of power and wealth. I mean, some men will pay up to $200,000 to be members of the Knights of Malta, according to the author of La Popessa. So these men are men of wealth, they're men of power, they're men of political intrigue. And when they all act in unison, for example, in the Kennedy assassination, their power is absolutely amazing.
Right. And, of course, the Kennedy assassination and the assassination down in Dealey Plaza was all planned out. And, in fact, there are, you know, Greg Szymanski has documents, others have documents now of the, you know, people who have been in the house that was planning this assassination.
Well, yes,
it wasn't
yes,
a random event. It was planned by people inside the government. It wasn't dissident elements. It wasn't the Cubans. It wasn't the communists.
That's right.
It was
and,
all planned out.
And Madeleine Duncan Brown, who was LBJ's mistress, his Roman Catholic mistress for 21 years, gave birth to his son.
His only son.
His only son. And, of course, he was killed when he sought to sue the Johnson family for, I believe it was $10.5 million.
Right.
He was kidnapped and poisoned and ultimately died, so Madeleine Duncan Brown has been talking.
Right.
A couple CDs. And she said the night before the assassination, they all met in Clint Murchison's house, and who was there? Why, Jack Ruby was there. He was FBI.
Right.
J. Edgar Hoover was there. He's the head of the FBI, 33rd degree.
Right.
We have John McCloy there, who would be on the Warren Commission and was also the high commissioner in Germany after the war that let off all the top Nazis, including that one Bavarian Nazi that was the massacre of Malmedy. And so we had Lyndon Johnson, of course. So we had when we had H.L. Hunt that was there. We had Carlos Marcello that was there, and Joseph Cervello, the two big mafia dons for the area. So you had mafia, you had FBI, you had CIA, you had Johnson there. And when he came out, Johnson said to Madeleine Duncan Brown that Kennedy will never embarrass me again.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so that's on a CD, by the way. Your listeners can get that. And she is going to be making another one shortly.
Yeah. So those are important documents. And when you start putting all these pieces together, you realize that everything has been maneuvered. Just like the dialectic of wars, the Second World War, I mentioned this several times before, that the Krupp family, which made all the munitions for Central Europe and Germany, also shipped and supplied the munitions for the British because they had a deal where they were using the British Queen's gold to literally pay for the munitions to shoot back and kill Germans, because the real target wasn't Nazism, it was the German people.
The German people and also the historic Protestant British Empire.
Right.
So what the Jesuits did, they fomented a huge war between two Protestant, at least historically Protestant nations enjoying Protestant liberty so that they would destroy one another.
Right.
And then on the ruins of those nations, Catholicize them or even atheize them, if there is such a word, which is what they've essentially done to Britain and France.
Well, they did that, and that's what essentially happened. And, of course, this is what happened to the KGB, which is a Masonic organization in Russia, which, again, run by the same organizations. Because
that's right.
They've told the Communist Party they'll profess that externally they're atheists, but, in fact, all the higher-level people within the KGB are all knights, and they all are Masonic.
That's exactly
they're all
right.
This variant.
And by the way, Gallitzin, Anatoly Gallitzin, who is the one who negotiated with Angleton on that farm up in New York for a couple of days, when Angleton handed over all the names of the CIA agents in Russia.
Right.
When he did, according to Anthony K. Brown in his book, Treason in the Blood, Gallitzin and Angleton were both Knights of Malta.
Right.
And so that's a very important connection to the Vatican, to the KGB, to the CIA, working together, making sure the KGB would come out ahead and that the CIA would lose.
Now, one of your allies that's kind of corroborated many of these things is Barry Shamish, who's Jewish. And, of course, what people have to understand is this is not, we're not coming against, quote, the people just that are Catholics in church. There's a lot of well-intentioned people of all faiths, whether they're Catholics, Jewish, whatever.
Sure.
We want to bring them, as it says in the Bible, to bring them out of Babylon, which is confusion. We want them to know what's really going on in terms of the controls there, because the coming out of confusion is what God was always talking to his people. If you're his people, you hear his voice, and you come out of confusion, and you start hearing God yourself, which is what the revelation of the Reformation was, is that you needed to have a personal relationship with the Creator. You needed to have didn't need a mediator, that you did not need papal infallibility. You could communicate with God. You could study his word, and you could then discern it and understand who God was and get to know him.
Mm.
And that's the real essential part, which is a process. And to be honest with you, for this process to continue, especially onto our advanced culture, with the kinds of things that are going to happen, not only on our planet, but across the whole galaxy and the cosmos, we need to have a religion where we are, have the truth so we can tolerate all kinds of what I call doctrines of devils that are out there that are trying to confuse people and lead them into destruction.
Right. And as I always say with regard to the listeners listening, that, you know, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. They used to change direction, to turn from their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for their sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again according to the Scriptures, and he's coming back. And he's going to judge all men in righteousness so that every man will answer for his life before him. And so it is my prayer that those who be the Lord's would be hearing this and truly believe on the gospel. And then once you believe in the gospel, on the Lord Jesus Christ, now you have the power within you by the power of the Holy Spirit to resist these evil, wicked, demon-possessed men who are running this mystery of iniquity.
Right, and of course, what I see coming, and this is, I'm formulating together what I think what I would call their great deception. And if I was to say it, there is a collusion. In fact, I just heard some interesting documents that there's some people going to this conference in San Francisco where they're talking about exopolitics. And I want to tie this together so people will kind of start to get a drift of where this is all going. And one of the senior priests, and I can't remember his name, but he actually is involved directly, if you want to call it, as the arm of the Vatican, dealing with exopolitics, which is, are there, you know, civilizations of non-human beings out there in the universe? And they're having a conference this coming week in San Francisco talking about this with people like Richard Hoagland and Michael Sala and all those other people that are experts on it. And I'm not denying that there could well be, because one of the things that we have to realize is there are both good and there are bad. And if we understand in terms of civilizations that some of these are what we call godly creatures and others are ungodly and evil, then what we're dealing with is a great deception, because the word that I'm hearing repeatedly from multiple sources is that they're trying to talk about, with this abduction and so on, that we are so-called been genetically engineered or created by one of these advanced civilizations, and really there, if you want to call it, there are godfathers, and that we're created in their image, and what they really are is their devils, their fallen ones, a very advanced, very evil civilization that have invaded our time space and have got very evil intentions. And if you don't have a real strong faith to live or die for the truth, when we come upon these deceptions, because we're dealing with a very big universe, and people's faith will fail. They will not have the faith because they think they're going to be taken out quickly and they're going to disappear when all of this is going to happen. And the reality is, many bad things are going to happen here relatively shortly. We're standing on the precipice of a nuclear war against Iran. We're on the precipice of an economic collapse in America with the price of oil going so high, food may not be planted next year. We're dealing with a lot of deception. And if you listen to the globalists, and obviously they're energized by these Knights of Malta, they want things like a staged alien invasion, which is Project Green Star programming. They want to have these, you know, I think you mentioned this before the program, and there's a project called, is it Moon? What's that project again called? I think it's called Moonstar or Moonbeam. That's another.
Bluebeam. It's a Project Bluebeam.
Bluebeam, yeah, and there's some other ones where they actually are using advanced holographic projection techniques to create a lot of delusions to confuse people so they won't understand what's really going on. When I go and traveled around the country some years ago, back in the 90s, early and late 90s, talking against in genetic engineering, cyborg research, which they tried to recruit me into the NSA project back in 78, and other atrocities like fetal tissue transplantation, what I always found was that right afterward, always the Masons, whether they're Catholic or Protestant or whatever, would always try to recruit me. And the people who do both the evil and the most good in a society are these same people. And that's very hard for the average citizen to grab their mind around, is those who are doing good, like the Shriners, who have all the Shriners burn units in hospitals, they do wonderful good things. But they're the same people that are backing a lot of these very, very nasty things where they make policies in Bohemian Grove, because people say, oh, they couldn't be like that. Yes, they can.
Yeah.
They do both good, great good, and great evil.
Yeah, well, see,
they're masters of light and darkness.
I believe the good that they do is merely a cover.
Of course
for
it
evil,
is.
Wicked deeds. The
of
Jesuits
course
do the same thing, pretending to help poor populations and set up schools and educational systems, when in fact all they want to do is control the government, and they don't care a hoot about the health and future welfare of those people.
Right.
So the Jesuits can control their Masons. It's all the one essential religion of Luciferian Satanism. And as long as they are serving the Jesuit order for the purpose of making the Pope the universal monarch of the world to rule from the third Hebrew temple yet to be rebuilt in Jerusalem, then that's all that really matters to them.
Right, and of course, if you actually look at the Knights of Malta and their sign, which goes back to the original knight, if you want to call it, of Jerusalem, it's obvious that the latest deal that Barry Shamish mentioned on the program, he talked specifically about this, that the Pope and the Palestinians and the powers that be, the Israeli government, has agreed to partitioning the land so that they would create and pass over the holy sites of the old city to the papacy to set up an international temple. And that, of course, is the abomination which desolates
me. That's right.
People need to understand this. You know, I'm a scientist, I'm a believer, but I'm also what I call, if you want to call it, a cosmic Christian. I understand that our God's a very big God. He also gave revelation to the men through the Middle Ages that started to bring, and the Reformation, to bring man out of darkness. And that process is still continuing, and it will continue on for a very long time, forever, because man is going to continue to know more and know more and know more about our God, which is an infinite being. And if people don't have any conception, they try to anthropomorphize him and say, oh, well, we can understand God. God, we get faint glimpses of the greatness of God, but we have no conception when a God who can know the numbers of hairs in your head, but he also knows every being throughout all time, in every, just imagine, in our whole universe. I mean, our God is beyond the comprehension of the mortal mind.
He's omniscient, he's omnipotent, he's immutable, and he's omnipresent.
Right.
And those are his four great attributes.
Right.
And so as he, during the Reformation, when the Dark Ages were in existence, that was the noonday affair for the papacy, when the Pope ruled the world. But when the Reformation came, and the Reformation came as a result of the preaching of the Word of God, getting, pardon me, the Bible into the hands and the native language of the people in Germany and England and so on, and when people began to realize there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, when they realized that there was one sacrifice for sin forever, according to the book of Hebrews, that Christ doesn't need to be continually sacrificed through the host and through transubstantiation, when they realized they could have the total forgiveness of sins once and for all and be justified by faith, by the grace of God in Ephesians 2:8-9, then they realized they didn't need the Pope anymore, and they didn't need his commercialism. They didn't need to pay Peter's pence. They didn't need the priests anymore to tell them what to do. And that broke the temporal power of the Pope in Europe. And as a result of the end of the 30 Years' War in 1648, that gave birth to the modern era, which ultimately caused the bringing up of middle classes, where private wealth was in the hands of a middle-class people, and that they could now begin to determine their political destiny because they had money and they had power. And
exactly.
Therefore you have inventions.
Which is why there's a move now to create a new serf class and destroy the wealth of the middle class.
That's right.
It's through hyperinflation right now, which is real hyperinflation, and it's shrouded so people don't realize. When they see the price of oil going up, it's not so much that oil's going up, it's that our dollar's dropping like a rock.
Correct, correct.
And so what's going on is the farmers soon won't be able to plant crops because they want to crush America.
That's right.
They want to crush the reforming nations that brought the missions to the world. They want to block the people who are going to move into the next century and may make contact with these civilizations across the galaxy. But we need to be a godly people that worship our Creator God, who made us in His image. And we need to also understand what we are. You know, as I always say, if we knew what we were, we wouldn't do what we do. You know, the making of war to destroy the Iraqi and the Afghanistani people wasn't the purpose. It was to take over the oil in Iraq, and it was to take over the poppy seeds and the heroin in Afghanistan. And it's all for the purpose of these globalists to create hegemony, to create the dialectic of conflict, and to create their control matrix, and then to dumb the population down, to remove their wealth and turn them back into serfs.
Right, and this is the destruction of the historical white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Reformation nations,
right.
which includes the destruction of the white race, which is being done in Africa, in Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, and South Africa, and Tanzania. I just met a doctor who came here, and the blacks are busy killing off the whites there in southern Tanzania. And so, and it's also the destruction of the historic Protestant faith, that out of which comes freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, and freedom of the press, because that did not exist during the Pope's Dark Ages. And in the destruction of what was once historically white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Western civilization, that will be replaced with what you said, the feudalism of Rome, which only had the poor and the super rich, and the priests ruled the rich, and therefore
right.
the governments and the peoples of all the world.
Right, and people have to see that this goes beyond the, quote, political system. I don't believe in politics.
Yeah.
The politics of, quote, democracy, they forgot the end, I call it demonocracy. They look at Nazism or communism or fascism or the socialism of places like Canada and other socialist countries.
Mm-hmm.
They're all a shadow and a mask for what's really behind it, which is the same hegemony by the same globalist Luciferians. It doesn't matter. It's all just a game, just like the Republicans and the Democrats are two sides of the belly of the same snake.
Yeah. I show that the Democrats and the Republicans are controlled by the Council on Foreign Relations.
Of course.
For example, you have Rupert Murdoch, the big Republican that controls Fox News Network. Well, Rupert Murdoch is a mutual member of the Council on Foreign Relations, along with the left-wing radical socialist and high-level Jewish Freemason George Soros.
Right.
So if they're really enemies, they wouldn't be a member of the same group, would they?
No, they're in a sense role-playing specific roles.
Correct, that's all they're doing.
It's all role-playing.
So the spin doesn't stop with Fox News, that's where it really begins. And it's just one continual brainwash lie after another. And with regard to the socialism, I was reading a couple of works, I've been working on Fabian socialism here lately, and I found out that Annie Besant, that co-mason, that female co-mason along with Madame Blavatsky, that other co-mason, female mason, that was an intimate friend with Albert Pike and Charles Southern,
right.
that Annie Besant was also a Fabian socialist.
Right.
And so the Jesuits in control of Fabian socialists brought the British Labour Party to power with Asquith and then later Lloyd George and then finally Winston Churchill, and they destroyed the British Empire from within using these Masonic Fabian socialists in Britain. And it's this very same source, these Masonic Fabian socialists, which includes Cecil Rhodes and Lord Milner, that funded and provided all the propaganda for Lenin in the Bolshevik Revolution.
Of course, and people should understand that when we see Leon Trotsky going literally from Brooklyn, New York, mm-hmm. underfunding through the Rothschilds and J.P. Morgan, all of these things were put together. In fact, the armaments were sent out from New York Harbor and arrived late. And so what they did is they sent the Canadian Highlanders Division and a U.S. division into Moscow and St. Petersburg, which later became Leningrad, and held the cities for more than 6.5 months until their armaments arrived for the Bolsheviks to, quote, take over the revolution. And that's a fact. I took care of gentlemen who actually were there on the ground with their boots on the ground because that's how long I've been in practice. I took care of them. They were very old. They were actually in care at the Banfield Pavilion of the Vancouver General Hospital back in the late 1970s. And these gentlemen were alive still after serving in the First World War and actually being on the ground in Moscow and in Leningrad or St. Petersburg.
Well, I need a real favor from you, Doc. If you would just type up a paragraph like that so I can attribute that to you, I would love to put it in this edition.
Yeah, that's a fact. And I get that from more than one witness. Some of these guys
have been
gassed during the Second World War with the pots of chlorine gas that were used as a phosgene. And, you know,
Do you know what this means, Doc? You know what this means? This means that the American people, because I believe a people is always responsible for the deeds of its government.
Right.
And this means that the American people
and the British people are responsible
for all the mass murder that has gone on in Russia since 1917 to this minute, and
right.
all the mass murder that has gone on in communist China from Mao Zedong.
Right, and Mao Zedong, by the way, received all of his armaments for his revolution directly from the British. They manufactured all the armaments right in Britain.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That makes sense. And I know he was educated in England, too.
They had no way of mounting a revolution. There was no way.
Uh-huh, right. And, of course, the U.S. 7th Fleet blocked all the ammunition that was to go to Chiang Kai-shek.
Right.
That would have overthrown Mao Zedong. And also it was Mao Zedong who was there when they murdered John Birch.
Right.
And it was a Jesuit that gave the funeral for John Birch,
right,
the Baptist missionary who was also, and Birch was sent on that mission, according to this gentleman, William P. Grady, in his book, How Satan Turned America Against God, that it was Wild Bill Donovan, that Knight of Malta, that got special hold of John Birch to send him on this mission to negotiate with the communists, for which then they killed him.
Right.
So, yes, the British SIS, the American OSS contributed together in the destruction of all resistance to Chinese communist Mao Zedong, and therefore all the bloodshed in those countries and in Russia and all the bloodshed on our American soldiers in Vietnam and Korea all goes back ultimately to the American people that tolerated this,
right,
wicked CFR, Jesuit-controlled, Archbishop of New York-controlled American government.
Absolutely. And you see, when people start to connect the dots, they realize, and they have no idea of the wealth. I mean, they have no conception of the wealth that was extracted. And in fact, what I heard is that most of this wealth was not only kept in these underground catacombs under Rome, but much of it was actually transported to America in catacombs that were placed underneath the Rocky Mountains in Colorado,
mm-hmm,
and in other locations. And in fact, one of the chief families for doing it was the Bushes.
The Bushes.
And of course, the Walkers and the other members that were the founders of the organizations that were the eugenics movement in America and later transported it to Germany.
Right. The Jesuits ran all eugenics in this country.
All eugenics originated in America. It didn't originate in Germany. People think, oh, those dirty Nazis, they were doing all these things. No. These policies came out, and in fact, the doctors, and I spoke about this because I had Leo Alexander's document from the Journal of the American Medical Association, when I presented this to many different places across America and Canada. In 1948, Leo Alexander reported as a physician from the Nuremberg trials that they killed 275,000 disabled people before the first other German citizen was killed. They killed the deformed and the disabled first.
And that was
long before the war. That was long before there was any move into the Rhineland. It was long before the Weimar Republic and the rise of Adolf Hitler took over and decided to do these things. This occurred in the 1930s.
Yeah. And I have documentation to show that it was a Jesuit who was behind the whole theory of eugenics, and that the Jesuits taught Mengele at his particular institute that he went to, and that Mengele was addressed as, quote-unquote, Father Mengele.
Right. Now, here's the thing. People don't understand that these things go back a long way. The policies of separating out disabled people in Europe, and especially in Germany and Austria, started literally 100 years before. They were setting separate villages that were part of their policy. And if you go through Europe, you'll still see, you don't see people walking around with canes or wheelchairs or other things in Central Europe. And that's literally a hold on from what they did to the people. They were doing mind control, just like they're doing to the Americans. They're hardening the hearts of Americans. These young soldiers coming back, singing these rap songs and so on, mm-hmm, after seeing the horrors of what they've done to these people,
mm-hmm,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And what they've seen happen to their own men.
Yeah.
They're coming back completely destroyed,
yeah,
spiritually, emotionally, and physically.
Yeah. And I also believe that this whole crusade, which was ignited by Archbishop Edward Cardinal Egan of New York City, controlling his Knight of Malta and director of the Central Intelligence Agency, George J. Tenet, CFR member trained by Jesuits at the School of Foreign Service, that they caused the bringing down of the World Trade Center, they caused the attack on the Pentagon so that they could justify a war of annihilation against Muslim peoples in the East.
Absolutely, and in fact, the people they contracted to do it was the nuclear division of Mossad, who actually put the nuclearized micro-nukes and the ferrite bombs to cut the steel of the girders inside the buildings, and they use it as a security cover for months before you, because you could talk to William Rodriguez or interview him. In fact, he talks about the fact they had these security drills going on for months and months before 9/11, where they're actually having people coming in with all kinds of gear into the walls of the building. That's where they were placed.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we know the Mossad has nothing to do with the Lord's beloved Hebrew, Jewish, Israelitish people.
Absolutely
who are getting here at the promises.
No.
But the Mossad is nothing more than an extension of the CIA, created by the CIA in 1951, trained by Reinhard Gehlen, and thus the Mossad works for the Vatican against the very Jewish people that they're supposedly supposed to protect.
Right, and here's the other thing, is even Shin Bet and these other organizations and the Mossad founded Hamas, which is now the head of the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people are completely fooled by this and not understanding that Hamas was in an Israeli foundation to blow up and kill Jews so that Israel would continue to expand its power and crush the Palestinian and the Arab peoples in the Middle East as it expanded its territorial zones of influence.
Yeah, no doubt that all those organizations work together.
Oh yeah, in fact, Barry Shamish showed all the documentation I've got from many other sources that Hamas was founded by Shin Bet and by Mossad. And and again, the other agency that works directly with the Mossad is the Russian GRU nuclear division.
GRU, okay.
GRU works directly with Mossad. In fact, what they've done is they've wired up all of the cities of the Western and Eastern world. So Russian, European, British, Australian, American, Canadian are all wired with nukes.
Mm-hmm.
They're all wired with bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got it on purpose. And these are pre-wired in the cities. People think, oh, no, they have to send missiles. They do not need to send missiles. They need to send a signal or a command.
Right. That's right.
They do not need to send a missile.
That's right. See, I don't believe in airborne nuclear war anyway.
We don't even have to.
I don't believe it.
It's unnecessary.
It's not necessary. That's right. They're already planted. They're already placed. They've been in ground for at least 20 years. Like you said, they replace the triggers, what, every 7 years, something like that?
Yeah, you got to replace them like bananas. They go bad.
Yeah. So the Jesuits always tell us what they're going to do with their Hollywood movies.
Right.
And we have The Sum of All Fear by that Jesuit temporal coadjutor, Irish Roman Catholic Tom Clancy, in his book that he wrote, and they put it in the movie. And what do they have?
Well, of course, he's a CIA operative agent, and that's why he's got access to all this technology.
Gotcha.
But they always bring it out, basically, because this is part of their, if you want to call it their, the ethics of their orders, is that they have to show you what they're going to do, even if it's shrouded, because it's called a, hoodwinked. You have to wink at them.
Right.
While you tip your hood, so they can't really see your face, but they know that you've told them, so that they have no way of saying that you didn't give them a way of escape.
And I think they like it. They get a certain satisfaction out of that. And, of course, then they simulate, they have this nuclear detonation in Baltimore pursuant to the movie, and then you have that other Austrian Roman Catholic papal knight, Arnold Schwarzenegger, in the movie True Lies, where they detonate a nuclear device in the Florida Keys and blame it on the Muslims.
Right. And of
And the other thing is, I tend to think they might do this in Toronto.
Well, and nothing would surprise me, because when I talked, and this is a story that I taught the course 3.5 years ago to our special op in Delta for the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, February 12, 2002, on bioterrorism. And my special op in Delta contacts there across Colorado and in Norfolk, Virginia, and elsewhere all told me, in NSA, the most common story I'd heard in the 10 years that I worked in Colorado and elsewhere with contacts was there were pre-placed nukes, and they were going to use them to bring in martial law.
Agreed. And, you know, the CIA has warned about that for the last 5 years.
Well, the thing is, it's part of their plan.
Right. Absolutely.
Part of their plan. Just as the avian flu is part of their plan, as bringing in all these illegals, that's a tremendous flood, not a controlled immigration, which is rational. And the people that have worked here that are Hispanic that need to be here, guess what? They're American citizens. They deserve respect.
And they're going to suffer terribly.
They're going to suffer terribly. As this backlash happens, a lot of them will be caught in the maelstrom.
They
balkanize America because their plan is to split America along the Mississippi River.
Right.
They've already made a plan that I've actually seen to make the eastern side of America under the control of the former CIS nations in Russia, and the western side of America under control of communist China.
Yes.
Okay? And then they want to break it up into 10 regions with 5 under each different command. So they're going to break it up and crush it. And then, of course, they amalgamated into Zone 3 with Canada and Mexico so that you will have a North American world ID and a world cash card. And if you don't have this ID or cash card, guess what? You do not exist. You will not be able to buy or sell, save that you have the mark. And if people don't think that this is the mark of the beast coming, they're living in a fool's paradise, and they're going to die, and it's going to hurt and leave a mark.
Right. Here's another thing I tend to believe is that that they very well may have a nuclear detonation in Long Island. I have a Jewish friend there who says that he absolutely anticipates it, that they would do it in the spring or the summer when the Jews who are normally down the Golden Coast in Florida will be up in Long Island. And they figure they can kill a million of them with a detonation.
Here's the thing, people may not find this hard to believe, but if they listen to the program with Barry Shamish, the what I call the Luciferian, quote, they call themselves Jewish, but they aren't, actually were the reason why that the Germans couldn't even export the Jews to Palestine, because they would not accept them. The reason why a lot of them died, in fact, they were sent to Montreal in a boat to Montreal, Canada, and William Lyon Mackenzie King, who was the prime minister at the time, turned them back, and there were 547 people, men, women, and children, were sent to their death at death camps in Germany because they would not accept them into Canada. And now people say, oh, well, Canada was so good. No, no, no. All of these nations turned them back.
FDR did the same damnable thing.
Right.
He turned back the ship that came in. It went to Cuba. What was it? It wasn't the Liberty. It was one other one. Anyway, it had 800 Jews on it, and they would not allow them in.
And you remember now, these are not the Luciferian. These are just regular Jewish people.
Well, I'm calling them the biblical Jews. They're Hebrew
Jews.
Right.
They're what I call the Torah
people.
Jews, the people who are just good-living people.
Decent people. They work hard every day. Pursuant to Genesis 12, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee.
And of course, all the children of Abraham were the Jews and the Arabs. And, of course, where is 80% of the oil? It is under their land.
Yeah. So,
it is under their land.
Yeah, that's right. It's their land. It belongs to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his seed.
So what do they decide that they want to do? And by the way, 95% of all the potash on the planet, you know where it is?
The
southwest end of the Dead Sea.
Mm-hmm.
95% of the entire planet's potash, which is necessary for growing what? Crops.
Crops. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that was done. See, the Jesuits controlled FDR and his Democratic Congress, which is the reason they would not let that ship in. The Jesuits controlled Quebec and Ottawa, therefore William Mackenzie King would not let them in.
Right.
And the Pope's Masonic Jewish Zionists, who ran the American Jewish Congress, did not want to let them in either. And
of course, they're all connected by their various things. So the ACLU.
ADL.
They're all connected.
For example,
the Dalai Lama with the communists, with
everything
that you can think that is bad, they're connected.
All connected to the Jesuits controlling the Vatican.
Right.
Another thing was, with regard to those Jews during World War II, is that pursuant to the work of Ben Hecht in his Perfidy, and the other work called The Scared and the Doomed, that they deliberately worked with Hitler in the destruction of the Jewish people of Eurasia.
Right. In fact, when they knew they were still losing, they were trying to feverishly speed up the process of the ultimate solution and kill as many as they could.
As many as they could. It's because they wanted to purge Europe of its Jews as much as possible, because you cannot have a united Roman Catholic Europe with that many Jews in it. So they had to get rid of them. They had to destroy the Reformation out of Europe, which is why they killed many Protestants and destroyed all of Protestant Prussia with the Red Army invasion, where they raped as many German women as they could, because if you can't kill them out, we must breed them out.
Pursuant
to the movie Braveheart.
Right.
And that was their policy then, and I believe they're going to do the same thing here.
Right. In fact, you know what they tell my sister, who speaks 4 dialects of Chinese and around 20 languages? She was a reporter and journalist at the Hong Kong Daily News before the Tiananmen massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband is a Canadian Chinese. His family were bankers that were shot in Shenzhen in the back of the head. They were taken out in the square by Mao and his people and all killed except for his mother, who survived and took his family and literally swam across from Kowloon to Hong Kong, literally with him in the sack over her back.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is that she was a reporter, and she gave me the Mao Zedong's book and told me about it. She said, you know, Mao said he could raise an army of 200 million. I said, that's interesting. That's in my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, you know what they tell the young men over there, because she's seen so much female infanticide. They've killed so many baby girls.
Yes.
They try to hide them, especially out in the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
They tell the Chinese army, which she says they could raise an army of 200 million, that your bride or your wife is in America.
That's right.
They tell them, and this is what they tell them in Chinese. Don't worry. All these little girls that are being adopted into America, little Chinese girls and other in white and whatever, your bride is in America. So they're planning and plotting an invasion. And many of these illegals that are down in Mexico and Central and South America are, guess what? Why do you think they control the Panama Canal?
Right.
Why do you think they control Long Beach? Why do you think they have all these munitions stored at the Hughes facility underground in Kansas?
Right.
They have
Alexander
it all pre-planned for a major invasion of America.
That's right.
Governor Schwarzenegger isn't even raising a civilian militia to deal with the potential of not just regular people that are getting enraged by this situation with this immigration issue. But if you have, say, 7 million enraged people who are think that they're going to be turfed out of the country, and they're gun-toting. You don't have a civilian militia. You do not have enough National Guard. The ones that are around, their health has been ruined, or they're stationed over in Iraq or elsewhere, or they're out. So you do not have any kind of forces to control us, so you'll have to bring in foreign troops on American soil.
Right.
So you'll have to bring in all kinds of foreigners in order to control and to put people in civil detention facilities, which, of course, Bechdel Corporation
Dr. Deagle,
and these other ones have built it.
Dr. Deagle?
Yes.
We're going to have to close it because Donna's starting today. As a
yep,
okay.
Wonderful. So, listen, I really appreciate the interview tonight. We really got into a lot of material. So thanks very much, Eric. What we're going to do is we're going to definitely have to have you back on in a few weeks. I want you to call me later tonight or tomorrow, and we'll do that. But we want to continue this dialogue so people will understand and start to connect all the dots. They'll realize that in order for us to really get to know our Creator, we need to apprehend and be like a lion for the truth. And I really appreciate the fact that you've been like that. And we'll have you back on soon. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Tomorrow night we're going to have Sherry Edwards and Sound Health. And on Wednesday night we have a special with Dr. Nick Begich and climate change, mind control, and all kinds of new information from Freedom of Information Act. So stay tuned and listen to Clay and Iron on the BBS Radio Network.
Thank you, Doc.
Thanks a lot, Eric, and you're a hero in my books because you stand up for the truth and the right and the fact that if people understood what they were, that they are a spirit being and then they should serve the living God, then they may be able to survive into the next age that's coming because it's coming really quickly. Thank you, Eric.
Okay, my pleasure to be with you and your listeners.
Yeah, God bless everyone and take care.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.